Blog Talk Radio.
All eyes on us, bathing in love. Though they wish they knew how to get what we got.
Can't get enough.
Gracious, that's our girl right there. We are so blessed. We got Sheila. Hold on, you know what? I'm going to bring her on so she can help me with her name. Sheila, are you there, sweetheart?
I am there. Yes, I am. And it's Sheila Prosper.
Oh, wow. Say it again.
Sheila Prosper.
Wow, what a beautiful name. Oh. How are you, sweetheart?
I am good. I'm a little bit frazzled because, you know, it's been a busy day. But apart from that,
yes.
I'm
yes, I understand. And I just want to just, let me just real quickly just say hello to everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today to Soul Art Records Radio. We are so blessed and so fortunate that we have you guys. And we just want to, you know, make sure that we provide you guys with a great show. We want to give a shout out to all the listeners around the world. And God bless all you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in
everyone.
And hanging out. Hello, hello, and hello. So listen, I'm so excited to have you here. And let me just turn the music down just a tad. I just want to ask you a couple of questions real quickly.
Uh-huh.
Just off of the top, I want to know, like, how did you discover the fact that you could sing? Like, how did you even get like,
I come from a bit of a musical family. I think everybody in the household can sing or dance or do something. We're very artistic. I mean, I grew up around music. My parents always played music in the house. It was just on constantly. And my brother sings, my sister sings. And, you know, when I was growing up, they used to have, like, popular variety show programs on the TV. And they used to have people singing. And, you know, I remember at six, I remember singing a song that somebody else was singing who was quite a bit older than me, and I thought, oh, I can sing that a little bit better than her. I think this is what I want to do. So I used to go into my, you know, into the bathroom, climb up onto the bath because the mirror was high. I couldn't reach the mirror, so I used to have to climb up onto the bath. I had the hairbrush as my microphone, and I used to sing in the mirror, and that's how I learned to sing, because I would mimic all the artists. I would mimic them every syllable, word for word. And that's how I learned to sing, really.
Wow. And so did your parents support you when they heard you singing? Did they go, wow, you maybe we should get you some vocal lessons?
No. I'd love to say yes. No. I don't even think they were aware. I was the youngest child of five, and so you know, my mum was singing herself in the kitchen. Every time she was in the kitchen, she was singing. I'm sure she didn't notice that the kids were there singing. They were too busy to even notice that we were singing.
Downstairs,
I was upstairs in the bathroom.
So did any of your parents, did your mom or your dad, did they have anything to do with music at all?
No, I'm actually the only one in my family that actually pursued it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay,
I know.
There you go.
I didn't have anyone to jump off of. No nepotism, no way.
All right. So why don't you just kind of tell us, so how did you pursue it? What did you do, and how old were you when you were, like, going through these motions?
Well, I mean, I started off in the school band. I was probably, early teens. And we were, like, you know, there were musicians. I didn't play any instruments, although I was taught some keys and the sequence of a couple of the songs to play when we was on stage. But, yeah, I grew up in a school band. And then some of us broke away and created our own band. We did that till sort of late teens, and then we kind of got signed as a band, but it didn't really go through to fruition, so we managed to get out of that deal when I was kind of still 19. And then we just kind of pursued things on our own. We'd release music, like white labels, they call them over here. Back in the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it used to be a white label, so you'd kind of release it with no real label. You just put your name and the song. And that's kind of how I started. I started off singing kind of, we call it over here Lover's Rock. Do you know Lover's Rock?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
So it's like the British version of reggae, but it's a bit, little bit more soulful and romantic. It's very niche to the UK. I started off singing that, and then I kind of went into soul music when I came out of the band, and I kind of went out on my own. And then I kind of got heard by one of the producers who wanted to work with me. He was a new producer, and he happened to be working with Diesel / Fool Crew Records. And so I managed to get signed, which is when my first album came out. So I got signed, and my first album came out in 2000.
Wow.
So that was called In My Shoes. I don't know if you know the songs off of that album. Maybe I should have sent you a couple of those ones. Because it was very popular over here. It sold very well in Japan as well. I think it did have some stateside interaction. It was very popular back then. So that was my first album. It's kind of considered a classic over here now amongst the kind of soul fraternity. It's a bit of a classic. So that's kind of how
okay.
I got started.
Okay, yeah, that's so. I produced and wrote and played drums on a lot of records over there, but they were released here in the United States, so like Shalimar, Shalimar, Whispers, Dynasty.
Okay.
I was a part of that stuff. Did they have any kind of influence on you?
Absolutely. I mean, yes.
Okay.
Mostly Shalimar, okay. I would say.
Whispers
is kind of classic music.
Right.
But yeah, definitely Shalimar. I mean, who doesn't love a Shalimar song? That's 80s. 80s, isn't it? That's kind of probably what I grew up on.
Absolutely.
I mean, I did love kind of Motown. That was a big, heavy influence for me.
Yes.
You know, when I discovered Motown, that was all over. I mean, I was like, wow. Because it was different to what my parents were playing. My parents, they're from the Caribbean, you know. So my mum would love country and Western. My dad loved reggae and calypso. But when I discovered Motown, I was like, wow, what is this music? This is nice. This is different to what they're playing. That's when I kind of I would say I kind of really did fall in love with music, because Atlantic and Motown back then, it was just mind blowing, and the songs. I think I just practiced. Not even consciously, just used to practice.
Right.
I love it so much. Yeah.
Well, this is a question from overseas, and they say, kind of goes with what you're talking about. It says, when you were young, how confusing was it listening to Gregory Isaac and Dolly Parton because of your parents' taste in music?
It wasn't actually confusing. It was just the norm. But the thing is, with both of those, because it's great, you're talking about reggae and country. Now, they are songs, and I'm a songwriter. And so for me, That was my learning ground for songwriting, because it was all about heartache, listen to Gregory Isaac, Night Nurse. I mean, he's bleeding, country, it's all about real heartache, rip your heart out kind of stuff. Can't live without you. So I kind of learned songwriting and emotion and how to deliver a song. So it wasn't confusing to me. Everything was a learning ground for me. Even the you listen to the Calypso, you're listening to how they take you from 0 to 100 and they're keeping you up there, you know, and because a lot of pop songs are high tempo. So, you know, all of it was very useful for me in my learning and my writing, how to make the music, if it's high tempo, you're making it exciting, you're making it joyful. I found them all quite useful for my learning as a singer and as a songwriter. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Now the first song that I played.
All Eyes on Us.
All Eyes on Us. Can you tell us about that song?
That song is from my third album, and the producer on that track is a longtime friend. He worked with me on the first album. Rick Starr, Ricardo Reed, who's a genius. He's just a genius. Anyway, I had a bit of an idea. So generally, how I do things, I would send the producer a song idea that I have, and I would give them maybe a reference of, I kind of, you know, want it to be this tempo, similar to this track, this tempo. I like the drum beat off of this, so something similar to that. So I kind of give references of what I want and what I need. And then he always comes back, you know, with the music that's just perfect. Yeah, that's how I heard it in my head. So, you know, that song came about from a song idea that I had. I sent it to him, and he brought back the music, and we recorded it. And I think it's one of my biggest stream songs at the moment.
Oh, wow. I enjoyed it. I was like, wow. I didn't expect that. I was walking around and, you know, like looking for something, and the headsets were on, and I was like, oh, this is good. This is good. So I really appreciate that. And looking back at your first album, In My Shoes album. It was such a good album, and you were happy with your. Were you happy with it? And was it received by the fans? And go ahead.
It was my first album, and to be fair, if I'm going to be completely honest, just feel like I don't remember enough of that period because it was so well received. I just remember doing loads of radio interviews all over the place and performances, and you know, to this day I'll have DJs say from Birmingham say yeah you came down and you did a show and we interviewed you and did it, and I can't remember. I'm like, what the hell, amnesia or something? But it was such a busy period.
Right.
Yeah, it was such a, but because it's a bit different because now we've got so much social media, you kind of stay connected with people because, you know, you have Instagram and Facebook and what have you. So you stay connected with people, whereas back then we didn't have that. So, you went and did, and I had, you know, I was under management. So things got arranged for me. I didn't arrange them myself. I wasn't independent. I was, you know, signed to a small label, but things were arranged for me. So you don't have so much connection with the radio presenters and the radio stations as I do now. I loved making the album. It was a great time. It was just the best. I'm very proud of that album. Very, very proud of that album. I wrote 12 of the 14 songs in there.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the fans received it and the music critics? How did they?
We got really good reviews. Really good reviews. We did try to shop it and try to get a major deal, but we just kept getting the door shut in our face because they said, you sound too much like Toni Braxton. You sound too much like Mariah Carey. You sound too. They just kept giving me names and names and names. I'm like, but I'm British. I'm not these people. You know? How can I sound like these? You know, how can I sound like all these artists? They're completely different from one another. So
crazy.
But to be fair, back then in the UK, a bit controversial, but you know, there was a bit, it was difficult for black artists to get a deal. That it was, if they signed one, then that was enough. You know, I think
wow.
Omar had the same issue. Yeah, I mean, at the time,
that's,
I think Lindsay Knight, who's quite popular now, she's doing really well. She's been doing well for many, many, many years. And I think we have Misha Paris as well, who had gone before her. But yeah, it was a case of, well, we signed one. There wasn't many, because similar music, you know, they don't sign very many. So, yeah. It just
isn't that kind of strange though, because they, you know, the British, the UK, or whatever you call it, they like support all of our black acts. I mean, our black artists, especially the
We're talking about mainstream, not kind of specialist level. If you're talking about mainstream, like the Radio 1 and you know, getting signed to a major label. Back then, in 2000, when I was trying to shop it, it was very different. It was very, very different.
Okay.
It wasn't independent artists. Right. Everybody was signed. It wasn't as it is now. It was a different culture. It was a real struggle to get your music on the radio. Yeah.
Excellent. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the song Dance All Night?
All Night. That's another one of my bestie kind of producers, Mikey Bailey. He again, these are all people that I worked with in my first album. We kind of wasn't like a family, really. It was such a good time. In fact, the studio setup was, have you ever watched the Berry Gordy Motown kind of documentary? With the one with Smokey Robinson, when they went, you know, they showed all the rooms and the different singers and songwriters. It was like that. That's how the Diesel stroke full crew setup was. We had artists in different rooms. So I'd go in every day and I'm working with this producer. And it was like, they'll pull me away. Can you come and do backing vocals for this song? And then I said, oh, can you write the bridge on this song? This is how it was. It was just the best time ever. That's what it reminds me of. It was... So big up to Phil Philo. He's a DJ now. He owns the radio station, and you know, he has got all the producers in and everything. It was just amazing. It was the best time ever. And so Dance All Night is produced by Mikey Bailey. He was one of the producers. He was the one who kind of discovered me and brought me into that fold. So he's, you know, my long time bestie producer mate, and so I again gave him a song idea and gave him the references and said, yeah, can you put something together for me? And he did, and yes, we recorded it and out it came.
Well, you know, that's, can we take a small music break and just take a listen to it real quick?
Sure, yeah.
All right, so and you want to introduce the song?
Absolutely. So this is me, Shayla Prosper, with Dance All Night.
We'll be right back.
And
Look at her. She can't stop singing it.
I know.
Great. Oh, man. That
it's
is,
in my blood. It's in
the blood. Oh, that's a lot of fun right there. Man.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
for the dance
energy.
Floor, that one. That is for your Friday night. Come on, let your hair down. You've had work all week. Let's get out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's get out and do this. That's awesome. Wow, girl, you are something else. I'm so proud of you. And, you know, really we enjoy having you here. And before I forget this, I just want to ask, like, if people wanted to support you, if they wanted to follow you, like, how do they follow you?
So, there's many ways, really. Obviously, I'm on social media. So, just literally search on your search engine, Shayla Prosper. I'm pretty sure I'll come up. It will either bring up my Instagram or my Facebook. Under my Facebook, it will be Shayla Shield Prosper, because that's a bit of my nickname. But also, if they want to kind of follow me on my website, which is where they can, you know, buy and download my music, it will be shaylaprospermusic.com.
Nice.
Yeah, all
very, very, very nice. Very, very good. Now, I have a question from the listeners. I think it was a minute ago. It says, why did you leave at 17 years between the first album and the second?
Good question. That is a very good question. So, as I say, I was working with a bunch of producers, the full crew production. Now, when I put out my album, I actually started that album 4 years before it actually came out. Because when I started it, all was good, but then during that time they became so popular as remixers. They worked with Mariah, with Mary J. Blige, Whitney Houston, with Craig David, with George Michael. I'm telling you, they were so popular. I then began, you know, I was at the back of the queue waiting for them to finish my song. So by the time the album came out, by the time my album came out, their popularity grew so greatly that they just wasn't available for me to kind of progress to do another album. So obviously, I kind of left there and thought, okay, I'll try and pursue this on my own. Let me try and work with some other producers because obviously they're too busy. And so I started working with some other producers, and we were just kind of writing songs for kind of groups that were trying to get signed. So I kind of was doing a lot of writing projects and everything. And then it became, this is the music industry, kind of became just a bit difficult because everyone was just trying to sign acts that were extremely young, or there was some kind of angle, as in, because this is the terminology, this is the things they would say, well, what's the angle, why, you know, and what they're saying, what they was trying to say was, well, you know, where have you come, where do we know you from, why should we kind of sign you, kind of thing, because I was obviously trying to get signed again. And this is because I was considered by then, I think it was in my early 20s, but, you know, sometimes they consider you're too old now. quite a few acts were getting signed, but they came from TV. So they came from a TV show or some other popularity than music. So they kind of diverted into music. So everyone was looking for either really young artists to sign or somebody who was from a show of some kind. It was very difficult. It was a very difficult time. I kind of became a bit disillusioned with it all. So I actually gave up music for a long while. I mean, when I say gave it up, I didn't listen to the radio. I didn't write a song. I didn't sing a note. I really literally just thought, okay, I need to get a proper job. I need to get on with my life. Maybe this ain't going to happen. I should just, you know, carry on. And how I kind of got back into it was one of the producers that I, you know, I've worked with on my last two albums, and he was actually the bass player in the band that I was in when I was a teenager. And we, you know, always kept in contact. And he, you know, one day said, look, let's just come, because he has his own studio at home. He said, just come down to the studio. We'll just write some songs, and you don't have to do anything with them. Just see if you, you know, you might, you know, enjoy writing again. And so this is what we did. And of course, I did start to enjoy it again. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to do some open mic sessions. Let's just go out and sing. So I just go out and sing some covers, and then I kind of thought, oh, actually, I want to sing my own songs, but new songs, not my old stuff. I want new songs. Yeah. So I said to a different producer, I said to him, Everest Pelios. He was another one from the Four Crew production, who I worked with back in the day, who's on my first album. I had asked him to put together a couple of backing tracks. I said, this is what I want. And one day I was at his studio. And doing backing vocals for the backing tracks that I wanted for me to do my open mic sessions. And he had just a lot of DJs calling him randomly on this day. And they was like, oh, who are you in the studio with? And he's like, oh, I'm here with Shayla. And he's like, oh, is she coming back? Is she doing new music? He just said, yes, she's doing an album. And I'm looking at him across the room, you know, in front of the microphone, thinking, no, I'm not. And he's looking at me saying, yes, you are now. And he just kept telling them, yes, she's doing a new album. And I was like, what are you saying? This is not the plan. I'm just getting some me to do an album. And so this is literally how the second album came about, because he got off the phone after five DJs and said, well, you have to do it now, because now I've told them that you're doing a new album. I said, well, you better get producing then. The majority of that album, and we did it in 6 months, and it was the best time ever. I've never laughed so much. It was very therapeutic. It was just
wow. That is a beautiful story.
Yeah,
wow.
so that's the long and the short of it.
So you work with Lucas?
Oh yes. Plus one, I think I sent you that.
What? Time.
Yeah, so him and Mikey Bailey, who did Dance All Night, the three of us worked on Plus One together. We wrote that together. So I had the chorus idea, and I was like, okay, I need some help, guys. I need some music. And so I came down to the studio, and we finished the writing, and we kind of produced it together. Yeah.
Well, how is it working? I mean, he's been on our show. And we had a great interview with him. And so,
yeah, he's very
but,
gifted,
but,
very talented.
Yes. How is it working with him? Because he learned how to sing through Howard Hewitt from Shalimar. He was like, that was it for me. I heard Howard.
And you can hear it in his voice, can't you?
Yes.
I can hear Howard Hewitt in his voice. I can hear
it.
You can hear the influence.
Yes,
it was great working with him. I mean, that track was done in his home studio. It was great. It was great fun. It was a good experience. We all gelled really well. We all kind of, you know, bounced off ideas off each other really well. It was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we will be playing that song. And so, you know, working with, let me see here, with Sister Sledge song, when you chose that song, will you choose that song again? I mean, if you choose to do another one of their songs?
Do you know what? I am not a big fan of covering songs. I did not want to do a cover. But Everest, the same guy who said, oh, you're making an album now, yes. What, you know, we kind of left as we left the studio.
Yeah,
so next time it'd be like, this is the track we're working on. So I came into the studio planning to work on a particular song, and he said, oh, I had I had a good vibe last night. You know, whilst I was sleeping and I had to get out of my sleep and I got into the studio, I had a really good idea. He said, I don't know what you're going to think of it. And then he played it to me. He said, it's a cover. And I was like, oh, I've already turned up my face. I said, oh, come on, Ed. I don't want to do any covers. You know what I'm like. And so he started playing it. And then he kind of sang what it should be. And I was like, oh, I love that idea.
Mm.
And so I said, let me try it. Give me the microphone. Let's try it. And it's so good. I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I cannot say no. Because it was so different to the original.
Right, right. And you know,
I can't take any credit for that. That's all his idea, Everest Pelly. So he's an artist in his own right. He's actually putting out an album right now. Right now his album came out. Yeah, so look out for him. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, it's so important to listen, at least open your eyes or your ears to what it is someone's trying to say to you, as opposed to saying, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing a cover.
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
Yeah,
you know, because you just never know. You just never know what you're going to
right.
What's
you
going
see,
to happen.
You see? Because I was adamant, I'm not doing a cover. I said, but play it to me. As you was up all night, let me hear what kept you up all night.
Oh, now let me just understand. What kept you up all night, mister? God. And then you're like,
but when I heard it, I was like, wow. Okay, we're doing this. Yes, we're doing
this. So would you consider doing another cover? And if,
I would if you consider that. If it's as good as that one, I would, yeah. Yeah, but it's difficult now. As an independent artist, I think a lot of the parameters have changed now. When you're releasing, you have to have permissions now. It's putting them on Spotify and YouTube at least now. So it just makes it a bit more difficult. So I'm not, unless you can
re-record one of my songs. So I give you permission.
Oh,
there you go.
You'll have to let me know what they are.
Yes, I give you permission to do one of my songs. But anyway, I just want to say, you know, you are so sweet and so, I mean, I didn't expect to have this kind of conversation with you.
Oh.
But it was really a blessing. And I just want to say thank you. Tell us a little bit about Rob Scott before we get off this room.
Oh, yeah, another sweetheart. He's another fabulous artist. He's jazz. In fact, I will have a song with Rob coming out next year. But he and I worked together on my last album came out about a month ago called Share Your Love. But on my Under Your Skin album, we did a track called You Don't Know. He's a genius, another genius. He's so talented as well. He's going to have an album coming out next year as well. But again, yeah, I went to his place and he has his own studio set up on this track. Go on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead, finish it. I was just going to ask you, how did you meet him? How were you introduced to him?
So at the time we had the same music promoter, and it was a hookup via him, and so yeah, I was you know, I'm always happy to meet people, and we click, we're best buddies at the moment, you know, we clicked so well, I had a really good time working with him, we had so much fun, and yeah, so we did two tracks, but the second track never got finished in time. So that track I'm going to be using next year. It's a big production song. That's all I can say, because he goes out. It's a big production song. Honestly, he's the best.
Well, you know, in closing, I'm going to play the song that we talked about. Thinking of You, yes. And is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah, the cover?
Yeah. Thinking of You, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes. And so, but, you know, before I go, I want to make sure that you know that Greg is a real big part of our company, and mm-hmm. he's been stalking you. He's been stalking you.
I see. Hey, Greg, if you're out there, you're probably listening. Kisses to you.
Yeah. Kisses to Greg. Wow. Come on, Greg. You know, he don't need that much love. Good. but anyway, he's a sweetheart. He's a good guy and stuff. And so I wanted to make sure that I gave him props because, you know, he does his best to find, you know, us a talent that we wouldn't normally find, you know.
So here's the hookup.
Yeah.
I know I've got a message from somebody. Forgive me for not remembering who it is because I'm in a daze. I'm in a daze. There's so many interviews with so many people. I'm like, yes, okay, where, when, okay, and sorry, and yeah, so yeah. Greg, thank you. Apologies.
Thank you, Greg. and I want you to tell us a little bit about this song. Let me see. Kisses Back to You from Greg. But anyway, so I want you to just tell us a little bit about the song before we play it, thinking of you. And I want to thank you again, you know, sincerely for coming on and doing a 45-minute interview with us the first time out the block. That's so sweet of you. And I can't believe 45 minutes have gone that fast.
That's quick.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I love to talk. That's why.
That's
because I'm talking
problems.
About what I enjoy, what I love, so it just comes so easily.
Yes.
Okay,
well,
so this is Thinking of You. This is the cover that I didn't want to do. That when I heard, I thought, wow, okay, yeah, I do want to do it. This is from, obviously, a Sister Sledge classic. And this is my issue with doing covers because it's a classic. You don't want to mess the classics up.
I think we
did it justice because we put a completely new spin on it. It's a romantic version of this classic. Smooth, sexy, slow version. And I think that your audience will like it if they haven't heard it already.
Okay, dear. Well, God bless you. And mm-hmm. take
Thank
care of
you.
Yourself and,
yes.
and keep on doing what you're doing.
You.
Lovely. Likewise. And don't stop. Don't stop your music anymore. Just keep doing what
you
do.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Enjoy. Keep on doing it. We enjoy your voice so much. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Take care.
You need to get me over there wherever you Where are you guys based? New York?
We're in Texas.
Texas?
Texas.
Come down. Maybe next year I'll make my way.
All right. Greg's coming.
Oh, you're playing a remix version of Just Thinking of You. This is the remix version.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, we love you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you very much. And take care.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Let me tell you about my love brought to you.
Excellent song, and what a wonderful interview, man. She was just so good, and we really enjoyed her, and what a blessing it was, and God bless you, sweetheart, and keep on doing what you do, and thank you for being the best part of Soul Eye Records Radio. We appreciate you very, very much. My. So just reminding you to play. To play a new song. All right, Greg. Thanks so much, brother. So much love to everybody. And we're going to just keep on doing this. Now we are going into the second hour in about a minute and a half. And so I just want to just thank you guys for, you know, hanging out for the interview and stuff. And God is good all the time. And so this is Indie Blues and All That Jazz show today. And so we play indie music, jazz, and blues. So, you know, kick back, relax, and enjoy this music that we play, you guys, and stuff. We hope that you enjoy it. And this is another indie artist that we consider them indie because they did not get the just due that they deserved when they were signed to Arista Records. And so we want to just show them some love and play their songs here on Soul Eye Records Radio all the time. We love these guys. So with that being said, here we go on Soul Eye Records Radio. Let's get this baby rolling.
to you. Looking to get turbulent.
It's called Buckle Up by Wardell Potstream, and we loved it and loved doing that kind of stuff. I hope you guys are good and everybody's well, and I had a chance to play my brother's song, his new single, and we're just really having a good time here on Soul Records Radio. I mean, God bless all you guys and keep you, and let's just keep it going, man, because it's that kind of thing. I'm going to slow it down just a tad, so come on and join me.
reaching out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
music right there. Hold on, hold on. Got Chuck Gentry in the background doing his thing. Anyway, guys, what's happening? What's happening? I got to tell you, that song that was just playing was really, really something special by Chick Corea. And it was just amazing. And I just loved it. And so just, I hope you guys could appreciate that kind of music because it's great. It's wonderful. And I'm sitting up here, I'm having me a little lunch while the music is playing. And just having a good time with you guys. Man, that Chuck Gentry track in the background, man. Let's hear that. Come on, Chuck. Left, so let's enjoy this, okay, guys? I appreciate y'all hanging out with me today. May God bless you and keep you, and you know what? Just keep up the good thing. And tomorrow is Soul Light Records Radio. It's Throwback Thursday. We celebrate our throwback songs. Y'all know how we do it. 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then Don Fleming coming, 80s, 90s, and the beginning of the new millennium. So come hang out with us tomorrow, 3 p.m., starting at 3 p.m., and Don comes on at 8 p.m. Eastern. And so just come hang out with us, and we got 11 p.m. Eastern. So come hang out with us and have a good time, all right? All right, guys. Let's keep it going here on Soul Light Records Radio with Mr. Chuck G.
That we all can see. Where there's a will, there's a way. I say where there's a melody.